thankful for Lord's answered prayers in returning us home safely from visiting the Primitive Baptist churches in India, and from preaching the gospel there and visiting the wonderful saints there in India. It's good to see your familiar faces. It was good to see last night. We got on the plane from Minneapolis. So we traveled from Bangalore to Amsterdam, from Amsterdam to Minneapolis. Got on the plane last night in Minneapolis and sat down and was exhausted and looked up and I said, I see some familiar faces, but it can't be. And sure enough, Molly and Mary were on our plane. They were coming home from Idaho. So it was just a quick, strange hallucination for a minute, and then it was really them. So it's good to see some familiar faces very, very quickly after we got back in the States. And so good to be in God's house today with you. For those of you who weren't here at prayer meeting, what we're going to do today is Brother Lewis and I are going to share the time. I'm so thankful that when we meet, one of the things Brother Gunas said that he mentioned to one of the seminars was that he was so thankful for the ministry that comes to India from here, because these ministers, they just bring the word. It's about the word, it's about God, it's not a performance. And I'm thankful that we're not having a performance this morning. I can't really perform for you this morning, and Brother Lewis can't either. It's just, we're just here as a, just to share some experiences of the Lord's work. Brother Lewis and Sister Abby have been in Ohio till yesterday evening, seeing about David's, his issues with his bowels, and of course, we've been traveling, so we're going to share the time this morning, and then we're going to have lunch, and then we'll dismiss, not have an afternoon service today. I think Brother Hugh's coming. I'm not sure. I'm thankful. Yeah, Brother Hugh's coming. It's amazing. It just thrills my soul to see him walking in with that cane there. The Lord preserved him, held him up. He fell a couple times early in the trip. The Lord seemed to make his legs stronger as the trip went on, and I'm just so thankful for that man and for his faithfulness to God's people. Before we begin, before we have prayer, let me mention this. Sometimes I assume that people know things, and I want you young people to understand what God has done for us in the past, and also that he might inspire you to use your talents and gifts for the glory of God. So we mentioned this morning that Brother Robert's father passed away. His name was Brother Logan Green. He was 94 years old. So if you, and you should, if you enjoy coming to church and singing God's praises, you should praise the Lord for people like Brother Logan Green. Brother Logan was a twin. His brother's name was Roland. And we don't use the old school hymnal here right now, but if you've seen the old school hymnal, that's a familiar name to you. Brother Roland Green and Brother Logan Green, they arranged the harmony in many of those hymns. God had given them a gift for music. They're talented in music and in singing. Brother Logan was a teacher of music at a college in western Arkansas, and they spent a lot of their summers traveling around the country, doing singing schools in churches, and those two men, particularly Brother Roland, as far as human credit goes, God used them to cause churches across the South and even farther than that to be able to bring beautiful worship before the Lord. That's not taking credit for us, but we should use our talents and our gifts to the very best of our ability. And God used those men to teach us to sing. And so I praise the Lord for the legacy and the example of Brother Roland and Brother Logan. They've both now gone to be with the Lord. And I pray that the Lord will raise up, he has, Brother Joey Lawrence has come here several times, but I pray the Lord will raise up more people talented in music, but talented in other areas as well, that to use your gifts for the glory of our King Jesus. I'm so thankful to, any sound that we make that's a sincere sound is glorifying to God. But I am very thankful to be able to come to God's house and to hear you harmonize and to sing loud and to sing with your hearts. It's a blessing to come to God's house and sing his praises. And so I thank God for Brother Logan Green. We want to remember Brother Robert and their family as they are there. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. I often read this psalm publicly before or after a trip across the oceans because I love what it expresses. Psalm 67. A prayer for the enlargement of God's kingdom. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. I love this psalm. The psalmist is praying that God's name might be known. That God's, not just his name, but his saving strength. God has promised to exalt his name among the heathen. We look forward to the day when not just those few, but all men shall bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And as a resurrected, ascended Jesus was preparing to go ascend to the Father, as a resurrected Jesus preparing to ascend to the Father, he told his disciples to go into all the world to make his name known, to teach, to preach, and for those whom God was pleased to bring to saving faith, to conversion, to baptize them and to teach them to observe all things that God has commanded us to do. Brothers and sisters, we truly believe the words of Jesus Christ, that to know God and his Son Jesus Christ is eternal life, that Jesus has the words of life. There is nothing more important than life. And true life is found in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and in knowing him. And so I just am so thankful to see God answering this prayer of the ends of the earth, the nations being glad and singing for joy. And so as I thought about what I wanted to share with you this morning, here's what I want to do. I just want to share with you our experience of church service last Sunday. And the reason I want to do this is two reasons. Number one, I want just to rejoice together in the work of God among his people. And number two, I hope that it will be inspiring, as I mentioned about Brother Logan, Brother Roland. I hope it will also be inspiring in a different way to the young people that you might think about your own life and what your life is about, the purpose of your life, the reason for your life, the pursuits of your life, what you might do with your life. Because God has called us to live this life showing forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I'm going to share with you the story of our service last Sunday morning. And you're going to have to listen closely because I'm going to start by setting the scene of the service. And then I'm going to go back, and then I'm going to go back some more, so you have to pay attention, and then go forward past the service a little bit, okay? So we're going to start with the service itself. We met last Sunday to constitute a church. Brother Hugh said he thinks it was the first constitution service he'd ever been at. What a blessed occasion when the Lord plants churches, candlesticks, where the name of Jesus is known and people covenant together to join their lives together in worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, in teaching and holding to his word, to ministering to one another, and to living, observing the ordinances of baptism and communion until he returns. What a blessed occasion it was. It was in a place that I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to try to. But it was about 6 hours, I think, south of where we normally are at Brother Gunas' place. So we had traveled 6 hours south on Thursday to hold a preacher seminar on Friday and Saturday. It was a very rural place, and so we pretty much just stayed at a hotel complex for Friday and Saturday. We did services there. There was nowhere to go. There's no place to go eat, or there's nowhere to go. So we were there, did our ministry right there at the hotel. And then on Sunday morning, we traveled to where the church would be constituted. So we started off on a four-lane highway for a few kilometers, and then we went to a two-lane road, and then we went to a dirt road, right, Brother Hugh? And then we went to a field that had some ruts where you could drive, and then we just drove through a field on a walking path. So we're way out in the middle of nowhere, probably a half a mile, maybe just driving through a field. And then we come to this little house. It's a little short concrete block house. To give you an idea of how big the house was, I went inside it. Daddy had baptized. I was helping him change clothes. And the house was about the size of my office. That's about how big it was. And so the service, off the house, they had strung a tarp, and they had some poles to hold the tarp up, and then there's a tarp on the ground. And so about probably 30 to 35 people maybe gathered there and sat on the tarp outside this little house, and we sat in chairs in the front and then stood up to preach. And so this was the scene. We're in the middle of a field. We're surrounded by goats and chickens and dogs. And I don't know if there are any other critters there or not. And then just right off this house was in the middle of a field of I don't know what kind of crops being grown. And so there was a water reservoir, a sort of a concrete block, water reservoir about maybe 3 or 4 feet high that people come to you know, that irrigates the crops, but also to bathe. There were some toothbrushes stuck there on a pole where people brush their teeth. And then near that was a well. This well was not a well like we think. It was about 10 feet wide, I guess. I didn't actually see it. Brother Hugh saw it. I didn't get close to it. About 10 feet wide and maybe I don't know how deep, maybe 20 or 30 feet deep. I don't know. It's just the earth, just an open well. So that's where we had the service. And the service was made up of, they have a pastor. His name is Gideon. So we ordained Brother Gideon to the ministry, and we constituted the church, and then we had a baptism too. Young people, probably 16 or 17 years old, were baptized, and that was the service. Now let me go back from that, and then I'll come back to it. So there are two churches now in this area. This church is, of course, the newest church. The other church has been there for several years, and they are pastored by a man named Rajangam. Rajangam. He's a dear, dear, brother in the faith, and he is the one who had met Gideon and brought him along, and Gideon now is a pastor at this new church. So I want to tell you about Rajangam's experience. So this church was constituted last Sunday. Now you go back several years. To Rajangam's probably about 35 years old, maybe 40 years old. I think he's 41 years old, right? Something like that. And so when he was young, he lived in this rural area in the village, and his family was Orthodox Hindu family. And all that means is that they were just serious about their religion. There's a lot of Hindus that are superstitious or nominal, but this is an Orthodox Hindu family. They were serious about their Hinduism. And so he said, I hated Christianity. They look at Christianity as being people trying to bring in foreign gods. And they hated Christianity. He said, I hated Christianity. So as he grew up, he helped serve in the little temple there, and he hated Christianity. Well, somebody gave him a Bible. Now let's go back farther. Let's go back to the 1700s. In the early 1700s, a Danish missionary named Ziegenbog, and that's probably not pronounced right. His last name is Ziegenbog. He came to southern India to minister. Well, he got there, and it was readily apparent that it's difficult to minister without being able to speak the language. And so instead of there are other missionaries who went there and just preach, but there's not any real, you know, communication going on. And so he had a real heart for the people. And so he said, I need to learn Tamil. And God had given him, you ought to look him up and read about it on Wikipedia. God had given him a gift for language. But you young children who are learning in school right now, how do you learn? You get a book that your parents give you or your teachers give you, and they go through the book, and you sound out the letters, and you read the sentences. Well, there was no meaningful books there. There were some printing, but not much printing. There were no books there. So he learned the language basically without the benefit of books. A few, but God had given him a gift. And so then he wrote a couple of books in Tamil just to get good. So he got there in 1706. By 1714, he had translated the New Testament into Tamil and then brought over a printing press and began to print the New Testament. And so the Bible, eventually the whole Bible was translated, the Bible has been in southern India, Tamil, since the 1700s because there was a man, young man, who saw a need, and God had gifted him with the ability to learn language pretty easily, apparently. And so he learned the language. He dedicated his time, learned the language very quickly, and then said, I'm going to put the Bible into this language, and then printed the Bible, and the Bible began to be disseminated. Praise God for that. We cannot value highly enough the blessing of having the Word of God Himself in our language and so readily available. The Lord, who has promised to preserve His Word and to magnify His Word, to make His Word great, has seen fit to use common people who love the name of Jesus Christ and love the salvation that they have been given by grace in Jesus Christ, to have a desire then to let others know about our great God and Lord. Friends, we treasure the sovereignty of God in salvation, that God has sovereignly elected before the foundation of the world a people chosen in Christ, known by Him, called to Him by name, and He will reveal supernaturally, miraculously by His Spirit to every one of their hearts the great salvation that He has wrought for us by birthing us anew and afresh, so that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by God's great work. But it is pleased God through preaching and through His Word to bring that life and immortality to light and to convert men and to cause men to seek after God. And so God has used men and women and children and His people to desire to exalt His name. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord, Lord, use me to exalt Your name in whatever way You've gifted me. Lord, use me to exalt the name of the Great One, that Thy ways may be known upon the earth. So what an incredible blessing. 300 plus years ago, a man named Ziegenbalg translated the Bible into Tamil. Now you fast forward back to the 1990s, and this Rajangam, a young man, a teenager, I believe, is given a Bible. Somebody there loved him and gave him a Bible. Well, he's an Orthodox Hindu. He hates Christianity, but he's never had a book this pretty. It's a beautiful book, and he's amazed that someone would give him, it's a very poor place, someone would give him such a beautiful book. And so he decided to read it. And he read Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis 3. And he said, I read it over and over and over again. Now, what is that story? That's the story of creation and then the fall of man into sin. And he said, I found that it answered questions that I had always had. I'd always wondered, where did we come from? And where did all this that we see come from? And what does it mean? And how do we get to be? And who is behind this? And he said, I didn't know if it was true or not, but I thought this book has clear answers. And so he was very impressed with the book because it answered questions that he had always had. The entrance of thy words bringeth light. Is that not true? Thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so he kept reading. And then he mentioned, I came to the Sermon on the Mount. He said, as I read the Sermon on the Mount, I was so disappointed because I thought there is no way that anyone could ever do this. Think about it. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I have not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. Every jot, every detail of the law must be kept. And then Jesus expands on his law and he shows how pervasive his requirements are. They go just beyond our actions all the way into our hearts, right? So he says, thou shalt not commit adultery, but if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her in his heart, he's guilty of that sin. And Rajangam said, I read that and I thought, it's impossible. There's no way that I can ever, I'm already guilty in the past, there's no way I can ever not have my eyes look upon a woman to lust after her. It's impossible. And so he's disappointed. But the Lord blessed him to continue to read. And eventually he read the story of the cross, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God brought him to trust in Jesus and to follow him. Eventually, through a series of events that I can't recall exactly, the Lord brought him to work for Brother Guna for several years, to help out in the orphanage and to work among him. And he heard the doctrines of the sovereignty of God, of the sovereignty of God and salvation. And then he had an opportunity then to his parents wanted him to, or actually he had an opportunity to go to the Gulf States. A lot of Indians go to the Gulf States to make money, to make more money in the oil fields. But the Lord laid it upon his heart to go back home to this little village or this little area of Biramum. Is that right? And again, it's not populated. It's poor. It's just the Lord had hard to go home there. And eventually he started a church. There's been a church there for a good long time now, serving the Lord in this little area. Isn't that amazing? You go back and trace the God's hand through there. And so then God blessed him to meet this man, Gideon. And I don't know all the story of this, but Gideon was a Christian, but he was into the charismatic Pentecostalism. He had a church. In fact, we passed his church and his house where he lived before he came to know the doctrines of grace and the word more fully. And he was a pastor, and it was a nice place that he had. But the Lord convicted him that you know these things, speaking in tongues and the more what we think of Pentecostal type work is not biblical. And so he said, I've got to turn from this. His father-in-law is the superintendent of the Pentecostal work in Tamil Nadu district. And so he came down and said, look, if you do this, you've got to give everything up. You've either you've got to stop preaching what you're preaching, or you've got to give it up. You've got to leave. And so he says, I can't deny what the Lord has shown me. And so he left. He gave up salary. He gave up a house. He gave up a church, a building. And again, buildings are the gold there, right? Because, I mean, it's a place to live. It's a place to do. He gave it all up. His wife did not give it up. She's mad at him. And yet he gave it up to follow God's word, just trying to be obedient to God's word. Praise the Lord for that. So that's the scene that we had last Sunday morning as these saints met to constitute a church. And this man who's given so much up is going to pastor them. At the end of the service, it reminded me of Brother Claude. One of the deacons that was ordained was 87 years old. And so at the end of the service, he wanted to get up and say something, and he got excited. He probably talked for 10-plus minutes. And, of course, he was just jabbering on in Tamil, and Brother Gunas kind of talking in our ear, told us what he's saying. And he was just overwhelmed. He said, "I cannot believe the goodness of God here." He said, I couldn't sleep. He had heard us preach the days before, and he said, "I couldn't sleep last night. I was so excited." And this 87-year-old man just calling the people to faithfulness. He said, "Listen, when we first gave up this Pentecostalism," he said, "people said we were a cult." And he said, "Now look, God has blessed us to form a church, and these men have come to preach to us." And he said, "Hard times will come, but we must be faithful until death." And he just was so excited, exhorting the people. It was just a surreal scene of this. We're out in this rural area, this little group sitting on a tarp, under a tarp, constituting a church. I mean, listen, we come into this palace to meet. And I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but it was just as real. It was if not more real, with these people gathered to commit themselves, having walked across these fields to come to church. It was just a beautiful scene of God's goodness. So let me move forward just a little bit. A sad story for you to pray about. The pastor Gideon, his dad also joined the church. His dad was an older man, and actually the house we were at was that old deacon's house, that 87-year-old deacon's house, right? So Gideon's dad, if you can stay with me, Gideon's dad stayed after the service just to spend a couple of days with that deacon. And then on Monday night, that was Sunday, on Monday night, I told you about the power going out in India a lot. So on Monday night, they're eating supper, and they eat with their hands, and you have to go wash your hands after you eat, of course. So they're eating supper, and they eat, and then Gideon's dad gets up to go wash his hands, and the power goes out. Well, he's unfamiliar with the place, and he's walking around to try to find that area where we baptized, a little concrete block where we baptized. I mean, Daddy baptized these people there, so he's going to go there to wash his hands. He's unfamiliar with where he's going, and he trips and he falls into the well and he drowns. So right after this beautiful scene where the Lord just was confirming his goodness, this incredibly sad and time happened for them. The pastor's dad drowned. But let me share with you just a little bit more of just what I thought was a sweet blessing. So the last time I was here before I went to India, one of the young people from our church handed me $200. It was such a blessing, and said, "Take this and use it for something in India." So I was very moved by that, and I wanted to use it for something that would be a blessing and meaningful. And so when that happened, we just used that $200 to take care of the burial for his dad. And I thought, what an incredible blessing of God. You think about people who have a gift to translate the Bible into Tamil, and then others who are just trying to use their funds in a way to please God and can bless some saints who go through a really trying time that way. And so, that thy way may be known among the earth, thy saving health among all nations. That is the prayer that we should be living our lives with every day. And what a blessing to be able to see that and to experience that this past week. And I said, I cannot wait to get home and share that with our church. What a blessed day we had. Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.